Ezekiel chapter 22, verse number 17 is where we'll start. We'll probably preach 2 weeks out of this or teach 2 weeks out of this. But Ezekiel chapter number 22, verse number 17, the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead. In the midst of the furnace they are even the dross of silver. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem, as they gather silver and brass and iron and lead and tin into the midst of the furnace, to blow the fire upon it, to melt it, so will I gather you in mine anger and in my fury, and I will leave you there and melt you. Yea, I will gather you and blow upon you in the fire of my wrath, and ye shall be melted in the midst thereof. As silver is melted in the midst of the furnace, so shall ye be melted in the midst thereof, and ye shall know that I, the Lord, have poured out my fury upon you. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof, like a roaring lion ravening the prey. They have devoured souls, they have taken the treasure and precious things, they have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the clean and the unclean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls, to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, Thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. The people of the land have used oppression and exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. And I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Therefore have I poured out mine indignation upon them. I have consumed them with the fire of my wrath. Their own way have I recompensed upon their heads, saith the Lord God." Let's pray this morning. Father, thank you for this opportunity that you give us to just come to your house. Thank you for this opportunity to stand behind this pulpit, Lord, and God, I pray that you guide my words this morning. I only want to say what you would have me to say. I only want to do what you would have me to do. Lord, I pray for all the Sunday school teachers as they're teaching their classes, Lord, and just the influence that they will be having as they tell a Bible story or teach a truth. And I pray that the young people would just pay attention, give them a quiet spirit within each Sunday school class. And Lord, guide the lips of those that are teaching. I pray that you'd help junior church, primary church afterwards, and the main service. I pray that you would just be honored in everything that's done, everything that's said. Pray for our pastors, he's away, Mrs. Ross. I pray that you just bless them and help them and just help them have an enjoyable time away and help it to be a time of refreshment. Lord, I thank you just for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. It's interesting, verse number 17 through 22, I just want to hit that briefly, but we're primarily going to be at through 23 through 20. About 29, but 17 through 22, the Bible talks about, the Bible says in verse 18, Son of man, the house of Israel is to me become dross. All they are brass and tin and iron and lead. In the midst of the furnace, they are even the dross of silver. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, because ye are all become dross, behold, therefore, I will gather you into the midst of Jerusalem. Now, I got to thinking about this as I was reading this. You know, I know America is not Israel, and it's an injustice that, you know, people say that America is Israel, because America is not Israel, okay? And America, honestly, and I've heard this from several people, and I have to agree with them. You don't really see, you know, the United States of America in the end times, like as far as, you know, a world power in the end times. Now, I don't know. I don't know what God has in store for America. I do believe that God blesses the nations that honor him, okay, and God protects those. But, you know, there's things that happen in our economy, okay, and things that, and I got thinking about this when I read this. You know, not everybody in the house of Israel was not serving God, Okay, God has always had his remnant. God says that. He will always have a remnant that love him and that serve him. But you know, for the Bible says the house of Israel, okay, they're all thrown in the furnace like dross or like a big smelter, and they're all thrown in there. Okay? And you know, just as an encouragement, you know, God does sometimes, you say, "Bro, Chad, why are things happening?" You know, why, or even to our family. And a lot of things, it's not, you know, okay, a Christian farmer grows corn right beside an unsaved farmer. Okay? A Christian turkey farmer grows turkeys and is in the same market as a heathen turkey farmer. Does that make sense? And you know, okay, there's not all the time is, well, why is God allowing this, you know, why is God allowing this to happen to me? Well, it's, you know, it rains on the just and the unjust. Okay, and there's some things that, you know, because of the direction our country is going, Christians are going to have to pay the price. And it's not a persecution by any means, because everybody's going through it. Okay, and I just kind of saw that, you know, there was a lot of Israelites that probably still loved God, but the same judgments that came to the rest of them was coming to them. Okay, I don't know, you know, you go back to Exodus and we've talked about the plagues some. I don't know, but that some of the plagues affected, I'm sure they at least affected the children of Israel. Okay? I don't think the children of Israel, now, did this plague happen to the children of Israel? Not necessarily, but I guarantee that they were, at some point, they dealt with the repercussions of those plagues. Okay? So God's people are still going to have to, you know, we live in the society we live in. Okay? You got to deal with those things. But that's not really what we're going to teach about. I just kind of want to mention that. Verse 23 is where we're going to kick it off this morning. And the Bible says, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, say unto her, Thou art the land that is not cleansed, nor rained upon in the day of indignation. There is a conspiracy of her prophets in the midst thereof." Okay, so we're basically, there's two groups of people here, and we're going to, there's actually four groups of people, okay? Or three, I'm sorry, I apologize, there's three. There's the prophets, verse 25, the priest, verse 26, the princes in verse 27, and then again in verse number 28, there is the prophets, okay? And we've already talked about the people, that's in verse 29, but we've already talked about them. So the prophets in verse number 25, what I want to talk about this morning is, what is the difference? You know, this passage deals a lot with the difference, and it shows the difference between what the Bible says is the holy and the difference between the holy and the profane, the difference between the clean and the unclean, okay? And what's happened, and Christians, American Christians, are guilty of a lot of these things. There's a whole list of things that the prophets have done, and the prophets have gotten away from God in this, or the priest, okay? Now, I know that you're not prophets, and I know that you're not necessarily priests as far as what, you know, the Bible, the office. But, you know, we're all priests, okay? There's the priesthood of the believer, okay? So we all can go to God as a priest would go to God in the Old Testament. That's the privilege that we've been given after Jesus died on the cross, okay? So there are some things here, and I'm just going to pick out a few of them. I'm going to give you the list of them, and then we're going to go and talk about some of them. All right, so the first all is, what are these prophets doing? They are as a roaring lion, verse 25, a roaring lion ravening the prey. Ravening the prey. It's not just devouring the prey, okay? And I think that term ravening, I think this is the general consensus. You know, it doesn't just mean, it almost means like they're playing with it, okay? It's not when you go coon hunting, okay, and the coon finally get the coon out of the tree. You know what the dog, they call it, we use the term worry. They worry the prey, okay? And that basically means they're just snapping and chewing on it. It doesn't necessarily mean that they're killing it right away, okay? It just means that they're devouring it in a slow, it's like a cat playing with a mouse almost, okay? Does that make sense? So when the Bible says that, it doesn't mean that they're necessarily devouring it. Now that's in the next statement.
They devoured the souls, okay? So they're playing with it, and they're getting as much enjoyment out of it as possible before they finally kill it, okay? That's kind of the thought there. They have devoured souls. They have taken the treasure and precious things. They have made her many widows in the midst thereof. Verse 26, her priests have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and profane, neither have they showed difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. Her princes in the midst thereof are like wolves ravening the prey, to shed blood and to destroy souls and to get dishonest gain. And her prophets have daubed them with untempered mortar, seeing vanity and divining lies unto them, saying, thus saith the Lord God, when the Lord hath not spoken. And we're going to talk about some of these. So like a lion ravening the prey, we see taking treasure and precious things, verse 25. Making many widows, verse 25. Violating the law, verse 26. Profaning holy things in verse 26, putting no difference between the holy and profane, verse 26, showing no difference between the unclean and the clean. They're hiding their eyes from the Sabbath, and then God himself is profaned among them. That's probably all the farther we're going to get this morning. You know, God, if you go back to Exodus, okay, remember when God designed the tabernacle, all the different things that were holy, okay? All the different things that God said, this is holy unto me. This is something that should be set aside. There's a whole list of animals that were clean, that were unclean. And we can go back, and we honestly don't have time to go back to Exodus and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, Numbers, and look at the things that God said, these things are holy. These things are clean. These things are to be set aside. Versus the things that were unclean, unholy, and things that should be cast off. Okay? But I'm going to pick out a few things that I believe that Christians in today's society, and you say, Brother Chad, those are hot button topics. Okay? Well, maybe there's a reason that we should hit them again. Because we've gotten as Christians to where we've blended everything. Okay, and this is the sin. This is the sin, and I'm going to talk about how we can kind of fix this at the end. But this is a sin that we've done as Christians. Listen, I've done it. Okay, we try to blend the things of the world with the things of God. And God said, no, this is to be a line, and there's supposed to be a clear difference. Okay, black is different from white. It is. Black is different from white. There is a difference in that. And the closer you get to gray, the harder it is to tell if it's more black or if it's more white. Does that make sense? So there should be a defining difference. There should be a difference in my appearance. You know, God set a standard for the children of Israel, the way they were supposed to look, the way they were supposed to appear. You know, the holy garments, I think as the priest that violated these things, God said, all right, here is the garments of Aaron. And there's five or six chapters that just talk about the garments that Aaron and his sons were supposed to wear. Okay? Well, what happened? At some point, they've stopped taking the garments, the way that the children of God should look, and they start blending it with the world. Okay? I don't really even know why I looked at it, but there was an article the other day I read. I don't know why it had to do. It was kind of one of those offshoot things. I was online and I was looking at something, and it was kind of an offshoot. You know how things just kind of come up. But it was the 20 richest pastors in the world. The 20 richest pastors in the world. And it was kind of interesting. Trust me, ours was not on the list. There was none on the list that were of our stripe. Of Independent Fundamental Baptist, there was none at all. But I think the bottom end was like he was worth, I don't know, $3 or $4 million. Okay, the bottom end. And a lot of them, I didn't know they were bishops, and they were black guys. So I'm guessing they were probably in other countries, because this is worldwide. All right, this isn't just the United States of America. The top, the top end, okay? The top end was a guy named Kenneth Copeland. A lot of you have heard Kenneth Copeland, okay? He's worth $450 million. I was like, wow, okay? But it was interesting because it always came up with a picture of the person, okay? And I'm actually probably going to use that, reference this illustration several times, but it came up with a picture of the pastor, and you wouldn't believe, there was three ladies in that list of the richest pastors in the world. But you wouldn't believe, there was only, of the 20, I think there was only maybe four or five that were dressed in a suit, okay? Now, do you have to wear a suit to be a pastor? I don't think so. Or I don't see that in the Bible that you have to wear. All right, but there is something, what I'm saying is there was the rest of them, you know what it was? It was, you know, a polo shirt with, you know, whatever. There wasn't a defining, he would look like the rest of his congregation, okay? Now that's, I don't want to sound like I'm downing the fact that, you know, some people don't wear it. That's fine, okay? We live in southern Indiana, and I went to Bible college, and bless God, if you didn't wear, you know, something to church, you know, you were a heathen, all right? I don't think that that's what it is. But what I'm saying is the pastors that were making all the money were dressing like the world. That's what I'm saying, okay? And at some point as a Christian, shouldn't there be, when the world looks at us and says, okay, I'm looking at our outside appearance, shouldn't there be a difference in our appearance? And I'm not just talking about ladies. You know, guys are just as bad as ladies anymore, okay? Now, obviously, when you see a lady dressed appropriately, you think, oh, all right? You think of one of two things, all right? She's a Christian, all right? Or she goes to, you know, a Pentecostal church or something like that, okay? That's what you think. That's what you automatically, all right? I tell all of our guys, when they're working for me, I understand there's times that you don't have, you know, you're working hard, you're putting up hay, okay, your shirt's not tucked in, and sometimes you just look grungy, whatever you're doing. But you know what? I think our guys ought to look just as sharp, and, you know, there ought to be a difference between our guys and the guys in the rest of the world. Even though we dress in the same clothes, you know, they wear pants and we wear pants. They wear shirts and we wear shirts. But there ought to be a neatness and a professional that you should say, hey, that's a Christian. I don't know what it is, but there's something different about that young man. All right? The way we cut our hair. All right? There should be something different. The way we carry ourselves. Okay? I don't try to look sloppy. Now, do I look sloppy sometimes? Yeah. Okay? But it's usually when I'm working or I'm busy doing something, but most of the time I try to keep my shirt tucked in. I try to look nice. I try to look appropriate. Why? Because I think there should be a difference between a Christian young person and a worldly young person, whether it be a young lady or a young man, okay? And we've blended everything, okay? Why would a young person, if I went to the mall Tuesday was our anniversary, and we was going to go out on Thursday, and it didn't work out. We could get a babysitter for Tuesday, so I had to go to Terre Haute to take care of some stuff for church. So, you know, it's just kind of one of those, hey, let's go to Terre Haute. And I took my wife. We went to get her some clothes. I haven't been a long time since I bought her some. And I have a wonderful wife. I have to make her go get stuff. Like, she doesn't just, you know, she doesn't come home with bags from the store of new clothes every time she goes grocery shopping. And I've been blessed with that. My wife is, hey, you know, she'll go in and she'll be like, I can tell she kind of likes something. So my automatic answer is, yeah, buy it. You know, buy it. I just want to buy you something, because she never buys herself anything. So I took her shopping. Well, we went to Sears and then we went to JCPenney. Well, I don't ever go in the mall, like ever. But instead of going back out and then, you know, driving all the way around the mall, it was easier to walk the 100 yards through the mall to get to it. I thought it was going to be easier. And then there's all the whack jobs in the mall, okay? And we're walking past some of these places, and you see, I was seeing things in these stores and shirts that I see sometimes Christian people wearing that I wouldn't step foot in that store. Does that make sense? Okay, so why are Christians a walking advertisement for the world? Why are we wearing things? Hey, I'm okay with, you know, if you're going to buy a shirt that says something, that's up to you. But why are we a walking advertisement to a store that we would be shocked to have Jesus walk into it with us? Why am I a walking advertisement for that? Okay, now I think if Jesus was on this earth, okay, you know, I think he would probably wear a Carhartt shirt or a Carhartt pair of pants or Levi jeans. Okay, I'm not saying that you got to rip all the labels off your clothes. I'm not saying that. Okay, but there is some things that we ought to be very careful about being a walk. Our rules when we go on youth trips. Listen, I prefer you don't have anything on your shirts, but if you do have something on your shirt, it ought to be something that God would be honored, or, you know, you wouldn't be ashamed to have God wear on your shirt. Does that make sense? And I'm going to get to that in later, because that's where the whole mindset changes. It's because we've got a mindset today as Christians, it's not about what God thinks, it's about what everybody else thinks. And we want to make everybody else happy, okay? I just think we ought to be careful, you know, and if you don't like it, you don't like it. But I think we ought to be careful about, you know, how do you tell an animal from a different, a black cow from a black cow beside it? How do you tell the difference? Well, in the old days, you know what they did? They would take a really hot piece of iron and they would take it and they would burn an emblem into their hide, okay? Well, you know what we've done as Christians? We're taking emblems and we're wearing those emblems. Well, who does that say you belong to? Who does it say you belong to? That's another argument against, you know, and I'm not against anybody that, if you've already got a tattoo in life, that's fine. But, you know, when you do that, you're marking yourself just like a tattoo, just like a branding iron. Okay. You're marking yourself. Well, you know, who do you belong to? You know, I've seen some guys, they've had, you know, six different relationships in life, and they've got, you know, one on this arm, the top of this arm. Like, wow. A lot of guys in the military, you know, that's a common thing in the military. You know, they'll have 101st Airborne. All right. Well, okay, I understand there's a camaraderie there, but, you know, it's the same thing. You're saying, well, then I'll just get a Jesus tattoo. I don't think that's what God wants you to do, okay? Anyway. So there's a difference in our appearance. Pastor just preached an excellent message on Sarah not too long ago, and about how the difference was with Sarah and how we should look to Sarah. You know, she was different. You know, what made her stand out to the Egyptians was the fact that she was, you know, just this seductively dressed woman, you know, that was very appealing to their flesh. No. I mean, look at her age. Okay, there's some very attractive ladies. You know, you all are very attractive for your age. Okay? I'm digging myself out. But, I mean, at some point, age starts making a difference. Okay? Well, she was significantly older. It wasn't, and like Pastor said, it wasn't the fact, listen, Egyptians had everything that they could as far as the flesh is concerned. It wasn't that. There was something different. And you know what that comes out of? It comes from inside. That radiates out. All right? And there should be a difference in the way I dress. But what's happened in Israel here is they've blurred that. They've made a gray area and said, well, this is probably okay. God said, no, there's black and white. This is the way my people should look. This is the way my people should act. This is the way my people should conduct themselves. So there should be a difference in my appearance. The other thing that I noticed here was they have taken the treasure and precious things. They have taken the treasure and precious things. There should be a difference in my business dealings. There should be a difference in my business dealings. One of the biggest things that I've heard as far as, you know, complaints against Christians. Now, a lot of it's just hypocrisy, because a lot of people think, though, because he's a Christian, you know, they think that the one verse that they know in the Bible is, you know, if I take, you know, the Bible talks about if I take your coat, you're supposed to give, you know, if I take your robe, you're supposed to give me your coat too. That's what the one they want to pull on Christians all the time. You know, if you get hit in the cheek, you're supposed to turn the other one also. And that's their well, bless God, you're supposed to be a Christian, so you're supposed to, you know, I should be able to take advantage of you because you're a Christian. Now, I don't believe that for one second, okay? I don't believe a Christian should be taken advantage of. But on the other hand, one of the biggest things I hear when you're out visiting a lot of times is, you know, from this happens usually with older people, okay? But, you know, the dishonest, a Christian was dishonest. You know, nothing does more to turn somebody away from Christianity than somebody that's dishonest in their business dealings. Huge. I mean, they'll never step foot in your church if they know somebody that goes to your church that was dishonest. You ruined it. Everything's been ruined. And we see here, it says, they have taken the treasure and precious things. They've taken the treasure and precious things. And I don't know all those people that were on the 20 top list of, you know, whatever. But a lot of Benny Hinn was on the list. And he had, I don't know, he was up there. He was 70 plus million, something like that. Well, okay, you know, he's the healer guy, the guy that would, you know, hit you in the head and heal you of whatever ails you. And, okay, you know what a lot of that is? Dishonest gain. He's never done that, okay? It was a big show. It was a big fake thing. A lot of these people are, a lot of these people that were on that list are TV-type preachers. You know, hey, call, you know, you've got all these widow ladies watching them on their, you know, their TV on Sunday morning, and, you know, call and give something and we'll send you a blessed envelope. And they'll send, I mean, this happens. You think that's a joke. No, this happens. People will send hundreds, thousands of dollars to these people for the hope that they get something back that was blessed by that pastor or, you know, a holy thing. What is that? That's taking advantage of people. All right, that's a scam. And just be careful about those things. A lady tried to run us out of Meadowbrook Apartments on team visiting a few weeks ago. And, you know, our girls were, you know, they got confronted by somebody that said, you're not allowed to be here. And so they're kind of standing at the corner like, talking among themselves, and I come up and say, hey, what's going on? And they said, well, this lady, she said we're not allowed to be here. And I said, you're allowed to be here. There is, legally, she cannot make you leave. And she was the, oversaw all that stuff. I said, legally, she can't make us leave. Well, she happened to pull up, and she was nice, or she was trying to be nice. And the problem is, you know, she could tell the girls that they couldn't be there. And she had some, her reasoning was a very plausible reasoning, was because they've had people come in that are religious organizations, and they'll talk to these people and they're trying to get money from these older people. Oh, and a lot of the older people, she said they had one group, this wasn't religious, but they had a group come in with these bottles, these spray bottles, and it was supposed to be this super cleaner. And basically it was water. And they were selling them bottles of spray bottles with water in them for like $25 a piece. Okay, and they were taking advantage of them. And that was her concern, is that we were, and I said, no, you know, we're not out here. We're not out here selling anything. We're not out here, you know, trying to get any, we are out here to gain no profit whatsoever, except to share the gospel with them. You know, a lot of those people, they love nothing better than for a young person to bow their head and pray with them. I mean, that's a big deal. And, you know, I know where I stand on that, and I help do some maintenance on some apartments that have elderly people, and I kind of reassured her that, you know, we're not out here to take, but that happens. That happens a lot. And Christians, isn't it a shame that that is a group, that religious organizations are a group that people have to watch out for because they're afraid they're going to get taken advantage of? That's a shame. And God said, "Hey, you shouldn't be doing that." I'm gonna go through this quickly, and because I want to get to the end. There should be a difference in our attitude towards the things of church, towards the things of the Bible. It says they have profaned my holy things. They have put no difference between, or I'm sorry, they have violated my law and have profaned my holy things. There should be a difference in our attitude toward the things of the Bible and of church. Let me ask you this question. I really want you to think about it. Why do you come here to church? Why do you come here? If I really said, why do you come here to church? What's your answer? What would be your answer? I'd really like to know on a lot of people. What brought you to Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Why do you come here to church? A lot of people come, honestly, because of family. They know family here. They've got family. And they just keep coming to church because of family. A lot of people come because of fellowship. They've got friends. And this is their church family. And that's good. That's great. But, you know, I hope that at some point one of the reasons that we go to church, not just Blessed Hope, but any church, is our desire to walk closer to God. Our desire to be encouraged to do more for God. We got to be done. There should be, everything is blended today. I'm going to skip through that. There should be a difference in one of the things that they said in verse number 26, they have hid their eyes from my Sabbaths, and I am profaned among them. There should be a difference in the Lord's house and the day of the Lord. You know, Sunday is something special, okay? Sunday, you know, we've just blended that. That's just another day of the week for most of society, okay? A day off. They can go do whatever they want. But Sunday should be a special day, all right? The house of God should be a special place. You know, okay, I understand this is a pulpit, and, you know, I use illustrations up here, and it's a piece of wood, okay? But it's also, this is sacred, okay? I work in this building, okay? I do a lot of work in here. But this is also, you know, it ought to be something special. It ought to be something that we take care of. All right, let me get finished here. We are losing the fear. Why is there a difference? Why are we blending this? Why is it gray areas now instead of black and white? I believe it's because we're losing the fear of what God thinks and replacing it with the fear of what man thinks. We're losing the fear of what God thinks and replacing it with the fear of what man thinks. You know, why do you come to church? Well, because I'm afraid that if I don't come, somebody's going to know and they're going to call me and give me a hard time about it. Okay? Or is it because I want to honor God and I want to be there on Sunday? Okay, and a lot of times it is. We've gotten to where we've just blended that, and it's, well, my family goes there, and if I don't show up, they're going to have questions. Or is it because that's where I need to be on Sunday because I want to serve God on Sunday? Okay, what drives you to do what you do? You know, the problem is if you do things because man pressures you to do those things, man's fickle. Man changes his mind about what he thinks. Okay, God never changes his mind. God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, a young person that just grows up and conforms to the standards of Blessed Hope Baptist Church because, you know, I say so, or pastor says so, or their mom and dad says so, they're doing it because a man says so. Well, you know why they leave when they're done? Because they have other pressures that say, hey, you don't need to go to church. But a young person that plugs in and says, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to do what's right because God wants me to do what's right, you don't have to worry as much about that young person because they're doing it because God wants them to do it, and God doesn't change, okay? Just because somebody graduates high school doesn't mean that God says, you know, well, I'm going to stop going to church. Well, why did you go to church while you were in high school? Does that make sense? Okay? If I quit going to church just because, you know, bad things happen in my life and I get mad at God, or I get mad at somebody in the church, you know, that helps prevent a lot of church problems too. Okay? If you quit going to church because you're mad at somebody else, you weren't going to church for the right reason. Just saying. Hey, do things because God wants you to do them, not because of the pressure of other Christians. Go to church because God wants you to. Dress to please God, not to avoid embarrassment if I see you at Walmart, but dress to please God because God sees you. Okay? Let enter into our ear and eye gates the things that would please God, not because, you know, well, we're not going to watch that in our house because, you know, I've got little kids and I'm afraid that, you know, if we watch this, the kids are going to go to church and tell everybody that we watched it. Okay? That's a real spiritual reason. Why don't we not watch things or not listen to things because God wouldn't be pleased with us watching and listening to them? Why don't we serve God because we love God, not because we are going to, you know, the occupation Operation Occupation meeting and we have to show us a map that says we've got so much done. Why don't we just serve God because we want to serve God? Why don't we give time at church just because we want to give time at church? Okay? Why don't we visit our bus routes because God wants me to, not because I'm afraid of what that board back there is going to say if I don't visit? Okay? We've got to change our mindset on some of these things. What will this do? It drives us back to God. It makes us have that personal walk with God because I want to know what God wants me to do every moment, not because of pressure from the pastor. You know, pastors never ask me to do more than what God has asked, but many times God asks me to do more than what pastor asks. And that's very true. I don't think pastors ever ask us to do something that God didn't put in his word, okay? You can get mad, well, he wanted everybody to go visiting and be involved in a visitation program, soul winning program. Well, I think there is several verses in the Bible that commands us that we should be soul winners, okay? And or at least be involved in praying or something, okay? That's not undue for him to ask those things. That's fine, okay? And sometimes God says, hey, I want you to go do more, and that's even better. You know, the problem with the Pharisees in the Bible was not the fact that the Pharisees were heathens. The Pharisees were some of the best people. That if you would meet a Pharisee today, you would think, oh man, he's a great Christian. You know, God's problem with the Pharisees is because they were doing it for what other people thought about them and not for what God knew them to really be. And, you know, we shouldn't be Pharisees. We should be people that love God and serve God because we love to serve God. So the difference between the clean and the unclean. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity. Pray that you just bless the rest of the day. Bless the morning service. Pray that you just be honored in everything. Lord, help me in my life. Help me to do things because you want me to do them. Help me to try to live my life to please you. Lord, I know I've failed. I know I've many times I just do things because of what people see and what people think. And Lord, I'm sorry for that. I want to do things because I love you, and I want that relationship to be close and sweet. Lord, I pray that you just help us, guide us, help the morning service. In Jesus' name, amen.